production.
Hey there, movie kings and queens, and welcome to episode 10 of The Real Gay Movie Show. I'm your host, Mike Lovins, and with me, as always, is my rockin' co-host, Ryan Provost.
Pew, pew, pew. Hey, Mike. Hey. How you doing?
Ryan, holy shit. Our first double-digit episode.
Yeah.
It's time to celebrate. Like always, we're going to start off with some newsreel.
It's time for the news.
All right. So James Cameron says that he's hoping we'll start getting Avenger fatigue here pretty soon. He goes on to say there are other stories to tell. This from the guy who has 4 planned Avatar sequels in the works. What do you think of James Cameron's comments, Ryan?
Jesus Christ. Ugh. Can I tell you, I am the most not excited about any Avatars.
Yeah.
And the fact that that movie came out in like 2009 and they're working on all these sequels and none of them are out yet. They haven't even started filming them, have they? Like, what is this man doing with his life?
I think he's...
Maybe get to work on your stupid movies no one wants to see and stop criticizing other people's
stuff.
Well,
and that's the thing, too, is that, Avatar, I think, was kind of a spectacle, you know, at the start of the whole big 3D thing. And it was just, you know, people were seeing it as kind of an event. I don't think that people care about seeing a continuation of that story.
So, no one wants to be in the Avatar cinematic universe.
Right.
And isn't it crazy that that's the highest grossing movie of all time? Like, do you know any like super hardcore Avatar fans?
No.
Who... I can't name a single person I know who, when they list like their favorite movies of all time, even mention Avatar.
Yeah. No, it's a total event.
It's so stupid.
It got lucky.
Except at the Oscars, bitch.
Right. All right. So moving on then. So Ava DuVernay tweeted out about how happy she was that Lucasfilm has hired a black female director for Star Wars Episode 9. J.J. Abrams is still the first unit director, but Victoria Mahoney has been brought on as second unit director. Most of her directing credits so far have been TV. She has done some acting as well, including on her credits, reporter in Legally Blonde. But it's a step in the right direction.
I got really confused when you started that story. I was like, wait, is J.J. Abrams a black woman now? But yeah, that's great. And I really like when people get chances who haven't traditionally got those kinds of chances before. So I am all about it.
Yeah.
Way to go, Star Wars.
It's, you know, like I said, a step in the right direction.
James Cameron won't do that for Avatar.
Probably not.
What an asshole that is.
So
I don't know why I'm throwing tea at James Cameron. I don't care at all.
I know. Maybe somebody will laugh at
it. I'm just throwing shade for the sake of shade throwing.
Well, you know what creates shade? Dragon Wings.
Is this a segue, Mike?
So How to Train Your Dragon 3 has been announced.
Okay.
It was announced that March 1st, 2019 will be its release date. It's been given the title The Hidden World. And it's being said that it will end the story of Hiccup and Toothless. So are you a fan of the How to Train Your Dragon movies?
I have not seen a How to Train Your Dragon movie. Well, I don't have a dragon. I don't have anything I need to train. I have a dog. Where's How to Train Your Dog? That's the movie I need to see.
Listen.
Actually, that's not true. Scout is a very well-behaved, wonderful dog. He doesn't need any training.
Are you throwing shade now at my dogs?
No, I love your dogs. I literally said as I walked in the door today, the only reason I do this podcast is to hang out with your dogs for the few minutes before we start.
Well, listen, seriously, though, you need to see How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay. I've heard good things. I just never saw it.
So this is less news and just more of a funny story. But while doing an interview to promote Avengers Infinity War, Benedict Cumberbatch and Tom Holland were asked, between Robert Downey Jr., Tom Hiddleston, or Bradley Cooper, which member of the cast would win at RuPaul's Drag Race? So,
Okay, I like this conversation. Okay. Let's go at it. Okay.
So,
why are we limiting them to those folks?
Those were just the three that the interviewer said.
That's silly. Because you know who would win? I think Paul Rudd would make a great drag queen.
I could see that.
I could see him. He'd have to see him doing it.
He'd have to wear a high-cut dress, though, or else he'd have to shave his chest.
You know... One of my favorite drag queens out of Atlanta is named Eva Destruction, and she is a hairy, hairy boy, but an amazing drag queen, great. So don't eliminate us hairy Americans from
over-feminize drag.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyone could be a drag queen. It doesn't matter how many follicles you have on your body.
There's hope for
you. Body, yaddy, yaddy. So you can do it, Paul. What about you? Who do you think could drag it up from the MCU?
Actually, I think, we've already seen Tom Holland in drag.
We have?
Yeah, he did some lip sync show, LL Cool J's lip sync show.
Forgive me for not seeing LL Cool J's lip sync show.
Well, there's all kinds of memes out there.
How could I have missed that?
I think he did a Rihanna song, and he was like in this like black leather dress kind of thing. But
was he actually in drag or just wearing a dress?
Yeah. Oh, no. He was wearing a wig, everything.
Makeup.
Yeah.
Tucked.
Well, apparently that's what they do with him anyway. So, but seriously, though, I could see Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, yeah. I may have mentioned him in the Rainbow Rewind. I think one of us may have mentioned him as like a potential, if they remade Tu Wong Fu. I think he may have been one of my Vitas.
I think that was. You definitely said that.
Yeah, Benedict could definitely do it. Yeah.
So the funny thing, though, is that. So Tom Holland then replied that he thought that Downey would win because he had the fastest cars.
Oh.
Yeah. So then Cumberbatch explained to him what RuPaul's Drag Race was, and then gave his answer. He said that he thought that Tom Hiddleston would win because he can dress up pretty mighty fine.
I mean, sure. I'm sure Loki could make a decent. he can make a decent woman, but nah. I put my money on Rudd or Cumberbatch.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you there. All right, so hey, we saw I Feel Pretty.
Yes, we did.
And
I feel pretty.
I'm oh, so pretty.
So here's what's up with I Feel Pretty. It's all about Amy Schumer being real. Ashamed of the way she looks and ashamed of herself, lacking some self-confidence. And so she hits her head at the Soul Cycle class, and then she believes in her mind's eye that she has physically transformed into like this perfect looking supermodel, and she is living her life full of confidence and getting a new job and landing a boyfriend and all these kinds of things. But she learned some lessons along the way about how not to be an asshole just because you think you're cute, and how to identify true love instead of just sucking the hottest guy's dick you can find, so on and so forth. And then she just ends up learning a valuable lesson about how important confidence is. It's actually a really empowering movie. It's a great message.
Yeah. Well, actually, let me start off then with that message. So,
yeah.
Do you think that this movie did a good job with its message of beauty comes from inside? Or so I've heard some critics actually saying that that they feel like the movie perpetuates body shaming. How did you feel about the message that the movie was?
I thought it was a good message. I thought it. I haven't seen any of those things about it contradicting the message she was trying to create. Because I mean, at the end of the movie, I don't know if anyone's like super worried about having. I feel pretty spoiled for him, but at the end of the movie, she realizes that she never looked any different. She just, the only difference was her amount of confidence,
right,
and in herself. And she realizes, oh, if I just have that confidence, then I can do anything. I was able to do anything. So I thought that was a really great message. I thought that was something that the movie did really well.
There's going to be, even if people like, going to be somebody who throws some negative.
Yeah, I was actually pretty surprised at how low the Rotten Tomatoes score was for this. Did you see what the Rotten Tomatoes score was for it?
I think it was in the 30s.
Yeah, it was 34%. I was actually, so when I saw that before going into the movie, I was like, oh my gosh, is this going to be like a disaster? Because, I mean, there are some really bad movies that have significantly higher than 34%. But I guess I'm part of the 34%, Mike, because I thought it was a pretty good movie. I enjoyed it for what it was. Was it the best movie? Was it the funniest movie? No.
Nah.
I have some critiques that we'll get into, but overall I enjoyed myself. I thought it was good. I'm glad I went. I, you know, if you like Amy Schumer in her style of comedy, I think you'll really like it. I think it's a good movie for definitely, you know, young women and young girls to see, because I think that it does reinforce some really positive messages, which you don't see much in comedies like this. And so I thought it was good. I thought it was solid.
Yeah, I actually thought it wouldn't be a terrible movie to take my daughter to see.
I was actually wondering that after, if you were taking your daughter to see it, because it seems like a great movie for parents to take their daughters to.
I was, even though it was only PG-13, Amy Schumer, you don't quite know, like, I wanted to see it before I took her to see it.
I actually thought about this recently, is that I have no, I realize I have no idea what movies are even rated anymore, because it has no impact on my life. I don't think about how appropriate a movie may be.
Yeah. I mean,
I always just assume that movies are certain, like, I didn't realize this movie, you could have told me this movie was rated R or PG-13, I wouldn't have known. And I don't think about how appropriate a movie is for a child.
Well,
ever.
Those are the things I have to think
I
about.
I know. Oh, you don't have to.
Okay.
just show her the entire, show her everything. Show her the world. Didn't you take your kids to see Blockers?
No.
Oh, I was supposed to say. I thought you did.
No.
Now that's one for the kids.
That's, yeah. So here's a question. When she's seeing herself after she hits her head, she's seeing something we're not seeing. Would you have liked them to have shown us what she sees, or did you like?
No, I liked that you only see her. You don't ever see some other version or some supermodel, because that's the point. The point is, it's always her. I don't think it would have been better. I think it may have even counteracted the message, and maybe it helps the viewer, you know, the viewer can just project whatever they think ideal beauty is. And so a young girl or young woman who's watching this could project what they wish they looked like when they looked in the mirror, and maybe relate a little bit to what Amy Schumer's character sees in the movie.
Yeah. For just a split second during the movie, I was like, I'd kind of like to see what she's seeing. But as the movie went on, even though we know that she's seeing something different, we're still following the journey along with the other people that are in the movie, you know, experiencing her the way that they see her. So,
I think that could have made it a little confusing. I think some audience members would have been like, oh, wait, does she look like that? Does she not? I bet that was consideration as well.
Possibly. I mean, it could have been a little bit of a shallow how kind of thing. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's trash.
Yeah. So
that's a movie that has some not great messaging.
Well, exactly. And I don't know. Maybe it could have fallen victim of some of that negative criticism. I don't know. Whatever.
So, like I said, overall, I really enjoyed it. I would recommend if someone came to me and said they were interested in seeing it, I would say, oh yeah, go ahead. You won't be disappointed. If someone said they were a big Amy Schumer fan, I'd say, oh, we'll definitely see it. But I do have some critiques, like some things that I thought could, I don't even know if some of them are things that could have been better, but also some things that, just some things I thought. So one thing I thought is that while it's a good movie, one criticism I have is I feel like it really plays on this one joke for the entire movie, basically. I mean, the whole movie is
one big joke.
Right. Or it's the same setup.
Yeah.
And it's jokes along the way about that exact same setup. Gotcha. Whereas, you know, Blockers seemed a little more, it had more stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it had more. I was more surprised by some things I saw in Blockers. It's like, oh, we're doing this now. We're doing that. This was, oh, I get the premise. And then all the jokes are about that exact premise.
Yeah, it did follow kind of a predictable storyline.
It was a one note.
Yeah.
You know, and which is fine. Not terrible. Like I said, I think they executed it pretty well. But I was thinking, I could see this being and maybe it's because they had a couple of SNL cast members in the movie. So A.D. Bryant was in it.
Yeah.
And former cast member Sasheer Zamata is in it. And so as I was watching, I was thinking, oh, this could be just an SNL sketch that is a really solid SNL sketch that's recurring. You know, one of the ones that they do every now and then. I could see this being a good SNL sketch, and every setup that was in the movie could be its own little sketch, you know?
It's kind of funny that you said that, because I remember thinking that it kind of felt a little bit like it could have been a Lorne Michaels movie.
Right. It could have been something like that.
Yeah.
A.D. Bryant could have played that character in the SNL sketch. Right. It could have been that. And I wonder, I think it would have been even more well received in that form. I don't know if it needed to be a full movie.
Well, and that's probably my biggest criticism, is just that I thought it ran a little long.
Right. And that's something I said about Blockers last week, is that one of the things I liked about Blockers is that it did what it needed to do and then it finished.
Right.
It didn't lag at all. Everything play towards moving it forward, and this movie did what so many comedies can do. It set up the premise, and then it was just joke to joke, and then they realized they had to move the plot along.
Yeah.
And so there's the part that got kind of serious, and they're moving it forward, and then the big ending.
Right.
And that formula can make comedies drag on for a little too long.
Yeah, so this movie clocked in at 110 minutes. I feel like, man, if there's some stuff in there that probably could have been shaved off. If they could have hit that 90-minute sweet spot that we talked about, it could have made it an even better movie.
Oh, for sure. Comedies always have that problem where they just need to edit down a little bit more. But you know that they have their jokes that they just love, that they will not cut.
Yeah.
And it just,
I think a strong point for this movie, though, was the supporting cast. I liked Michelle Williams.
I'm going to talk about her later.
Okay.
But no, what did you like about?
Just, I felt like this was a character that she has not ever played before.
For sure.
So I'll leave it at that, but just like, it was just something fresh for her, and I liked that.
Yeah, and I did have to, and like I said, I'm going to talk about her a little more later, but I did have to be like, oh, is that, because I saw her name at the beginning of the credits, the beginning of the movie, and then when that character came on screen, I was like, is that her? Is that Michelle Williams? She really disappeared into that character a little bit.
Yeah, well, and she, I don't know if it's just an illusion from the long straight hair, but I mean, it looked to me like she got like even skinnier than she already was. And I don't know if that's just her wardrobe or the hair or
I don't know. She's one of those real, she's a real actress. I mean, she commits to roles, whatever she has, she creates that character and lives whoever it's supposed to be in every role she does. And so I wouldn't be surprised if she actually did lose weight to play this.
Yeah.
Super thin fashion model designer person.
It's our makeup. What'd you think of her two best friends? You said Adie Bryant and Busy Phillips.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were fine. So you really liked the supporting cast. I thought the supporting cast was fine. There wasn't anything that really... I really like when a movie has a lot of... When the supporting cast is really strong and is a highlight. Those roles where they don't have a ton of screen time, but when they are on the screen, they're just very captivating. I didn't get a lot of that from this movie. I thought everyone was fine. I don't think anyone really took me out of the movie in a negative way, save for kind of one we'll talk about a little bit later. But when I talk about my No Ma'am, but they were fine. I thought, if anything, you know, I really like Adie Bryant on SNL. I'm a big SNL fan. I watch every episode, and I wish she had been better because I think she's so funny on Saturday Night Live. I don't think they used her the best way in this.
That's movie. Fair. I mean, I think that they did a good enough job for the roles that they had for the movie. But actually, this isn't who I thought slayed or anything like that, so I'm not getting into major details here. But Rory Scovel, who played Ethan, the love interest, I don't know, for some reason I kind of liked his character and the chemistry that they kind of built.
Yeah, they did. They had really good chemistry. I mean, my favorite scene in the movie is probably when, so after she doesn't think she's the supermodel anymore, and she goes to try to go on a date with him and explain why she doesn't look the way she thought she looked anymore. And she sees him and can't approach him. So she sits at the bar and they make eye contact and she realizes, I can't do it. And so he's like, why isn't she coming to the table?
Right, yeah.
And she's texting them, sorry, I'm running late, when she's sitting right in front there. Of him.
Yeah. I really liked that too.
That cracked me up. That was a really funny setup.
Here he thinks they're just like doing some kind of role playing thing.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. I like that. I thought they did really well with that. Yeah. He did a good job. He was solid.
Yeah. And of course, you know, cameo in there from Naomi Campbell, who she doesn't seem to age.
No. Whatever she's doing, I need to do some of that.
I think she's using Lily LeClaire.
Nice try, Mike.
I
nice
tried. All right.
You're what would happen if a dad joke was a sentient being and wished to its fairy godmother that it would become a real boy, Mike. That's what you are.
I own it.
You do. Own it. You rock it. It's your thing.
It's my thing.
Dad jokes are us. We're all living for it. All three of our listeners.
All three of you. Thank you. Thank you.
So the bar scene was my favorite comedy setup in this. Did you have a favorite comedy setup, a joke or scene that really made you chuckle?
When she, after she attempts to recreate her, her accident so she can be pretty again, and she's in the locker room with the girl that's like super pretty that she's been talking to, and their conversation about how this this model-esque woman is going through a breakup, and Amy Schumer is assuming that she broke up with the guy and then but found out that no, she's the one that got dumped. Just that how could you get dumped?
Right.
Who would do that? You know, just it's an interesting kind of shoe on the other foot kind of thing. But I thought that the banter back and forth was kind of funny.
Yeah, and it was really funny and also really resonated because there are those people who are super hot and they get dumped and you're like, how does that person?
Right.
So very relatable scene there. But I thought that, yeah, I thought that was really funny too. I liked her. I liked her.
I did too.
Friend
she,
a lot.
She, you know, she didn't come across as being, you know, bitchy and entitled.
Yeah.
It's just, she's just pretty. That's who she is.
You she's know? Not just pretty. She had a nice personality.
Well, no. I mean,
wow, Mike.
No, that's wow. not what I mean. That's
she's
no.
just pretty. She doesn't think or have
no
feelings.
You know what I mean? I'm sorry, pretty people.
She's just pretty. Is that what you think about me, Mike? I'm just
yes. You're just pretty.
Yeah, I get that all the time. Not just some piece of meat.
Anyway, no. So just. She is who she is. She gets to live her life as being a pretty woman, but she's also
different movie.
Fuck it. Moving on.
I just like fucking with you. It makes me happy. Oh, this is great. But no, I mean, one thing I really like and appreciate about this movie is it knows who its audience is. It does, even though it does have that kind of one note, it knows who it's going for. And you can picture exactly who is going to this movie. And I thought it did a really good job of being what I think the people who would go to see this movie would want it to be, which is something that a lot of movies struggle with. Movies we've talked about have really struggled with that. Just not having an audience in mind when they're making it, or, you know, us leaving and being like, who did they make this movie for? Cause I do not know. I could guess who they made this movie for.
They made it for me.
For you. Yes. For you, Mike. But I thought they did a really good job of speaking a message to a very specific audience. And I really like that, but I also thought it was generally good enough that anyone can go see it and enjoy it. But like I said, if you're a big Amy Schumer fan, or, you know, I think that this one is one that a lot of young women or teenage girls would really want to go see on a girls' night out or something like that. It's a perfect movie for that kind of thing.
Well, let me tell you. So I felt like I related to the movie kind of on a personal level. So I was only kind of half kidding when I said they made it for me, but
well, yeah.
You know, I'm not a small guy. I'm the person who walks into a store and can't find clothes that fit in my size there. You know, I'm the guy who goes to the gym and is worried about how I look compared to the other people that are working out and getting on the equipment and stuff like that. So I really resonated on a personal level with this movie.
Yeah. And I think that's something, it's something that I'll talk about a little bit more in one of my takes.
Okay.
But I think it's not just women who can relate to this movie. Obviously, anyone, it's talking about confidence. I think it is definitely speaking specifically to women, but I think in general, all of us need to have more confidence and be more body positive. And if you have confidence in who you are, just being you and walking into a room and saying, I belong here, then you will belong and you will be able to achieve things that maybe you didn't think you could. I think for a lot of people, their lack of confidence keeps them from being able to do things that they should be doing or could be doing. And it's funny when it's someone who you think should have a lot of confidence, kind of like the model character that she's friends with in the movie. And that's one of the reasons I really like that scene, is because pretty people also lack confidence. You know, people who seem to have all their shit together lack confidence. And so it really did have that great message. And I thought it delivered it very well. And any of those critics who are trying to pick holes at it, Well, you suck for thinking that, you 66% of critics who hated this movie, apparently. I don't know.
That's why we don't get paid to be critics. We do it on our free time.
You're not getting paid?
Oh, shit.
I've been getting sponsored this entire time. Kidding, kidding. Kind of.
And our takes are brought to you by...
My takes brought to you by... Mike's take ain't brought to you by shit. If you do want to sponsor our takes, though, and you have a company, please feel free to
www.realgaymovieshow.com.
Or just Venmo me directly, and I will mention.
And he'll be happy to split that with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'll definitely let Mike know that that happened.
Okay.
But anyway, takes?
Yeah, so I think that's a good segue. Let's go ahead and move on to our takes.
Let's do it, Mike.
Real takes.
Take it away, Mike.
All right. So, am I starting this week again? Or do you want to go first?
Hell yeah, you're starting. Why don't you go ahead?
Start me up.
Tell me, Mike, what's the gayest take on I Feel Pretty?
Okay. So, my gayest take involves a character we haven't really talked about yet. But there's a scene.
I know who you're talking about. Go ahead.
So, we did mention Michelle Williams, and her character has a brother named Grant.
Yeah, she does. Hey, Grant.
And there's a scene where Grant and Renee, who is Amy Schumer, are sitting on a bed in Renee's hotel room. So, I'm not sure I could tell you a single thing that they said because my whole focus was on those bulging veins on Tom Hopper's arms.
Right.
Damn.
Damn, boy.
I'm a sucker for like veiny muscular arms. Whew.
You and every nurse out there.
Right? Let me find a vein to poke.
He's actually, I know we're kind of skipping around. He's actually my sleigh for no other reason than because he's pretty to look at. And I didn't think there was a performance that was super like outstanding.
This is
okay. And so I was like, well, if all the performances are pretty moderately good, I'm gonna give it to the hot guy.
So it's gonna be fun then when we start talking, when we go down the list, because he's also my no ma'am. So all right, so before we get to all that, let's get your gayest take.
I mean, we kind of hit on it, but I do think they could make a version of this movie that is a gay version. I mean, I think it just speaks to,
yeah,
there's so much body dysmorphia and lack of confidence in the gay community. I mean, they could definitely make one of those cheap, straight to Netflix, stupid gay movies.
What would the title be? I Feel Woke? I don't know.
No, that's stupid, Mike.
I don't know. I'm
what
not
is it? Now I have to. I'll think about
okay,
it.
Okay, we can come back to that.
But yeah, they could definitely make a really good gay version of this. But the problem is, like, in the gay community, it's so bad that it would be someone like very average. Like, they would have like only a 4-pack, and they'd be like, "I'm so fat, and no one loves me." And then they would hit their head.
Do you even have as many abs as right. I do?
That actually drives me crazy on like the dating apps and everything. How people describe their body type, and it infuriates me when someone puts "I'm average," and then you look at their picture and they are chiseled to the gods, and I'm like, in what world are you average?
The grinder world.
That is horse cockery. That is stupid. It drives me so bananas. You should not get to pick your own body type on there. They should assign it to you. Nope. Because I am very afraid of what I would be assigned. Especially in the gay community. I am.
So anybody paying attention, I think he's on Grindr.
I'm Actually, I'm in one of my phases right now where I deleted it. Fun fact, I've been going through waves lately where I download it for a little while and then delete it. Like, and I had it for a couple weeks there up until like a day or two ago. And then today, I think I had my shortest like Grindr time ever. So I downloaded again today, logged on, and within like 2 minutes was like, nope. And then deleted it again.
It doesn't take long.
There wasn't even a message or nothing. I just scrolled through and saw all the same fucking people that are always on. And it's just like, no, it's nothing new.
No,
same,
honey.
Same shit. Delete.
Delete.
Until like maybe tomorrow. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see. I never say never when it comes to Grindr.
So any more on your gayest take?
That's it. That's all we got. All
right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and move on to my shadiest take.
Throw
then.
Some shade, so Mike.
Throwing some shade. When she starts ditching her friends to hang out with the model types from work and belittling them based on how much better she thought she looked than them. And when trying to do that, like group dating app and stuff like that, you know, it was just like, girl, these are your best buds. Why you got to be like that?
She was mean.
She was mean. To
Why
me.
Are you being mean, Amy Schumer? Don't be mean or you're friends.
But did that feel shady to you at all?
Well, that's not how I approach my shadiest take. But I mean, speaking of that, I was kind of wondering. So they had the group date and there were three guys and then the three of them. And then in a later scene,
I know
there's only one. There's... One of the guys got left out. Yeah, yeah. How shitty does he feel that they got on this dating app together and they're like, yo, bro, we're going to find us three women. And then they found these three. Amy Schumer fully was not interested because she had a man. And what was the conversation? I wish they had shown the conversation between these three guys. Well, bro, guess it's back to Tinder for you because we're done. We found our ladies. And he's like, what? We're in this together. That is the dumbest app idea ever. Why would you create this group date app? Because then think about it. You go on a date with these other people, and then what if like the two of them find love and then you are fully not attracted to the person for you? You're like, what is this shit?
Yeah, that's kind of messed up.
It's a stupid app idea. I don't know if it exists. I don't know. I feel like I hear about these straight apps all the time and there's always new ones, and I wouldn't be surprised if it exists, but man,
in the gay world it's like thruple life.
No, in the gay world, you know what it's called? Grindr.
Looking for a third.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus. There's more people on Grindr these days who are in a relationship than not. It's like, how about this? How about you can't get on Grindr until all of us have found one man? How about that?
Everybody has to eat before you can come back for seconds.
Exactly. Thank you. That's the rule.
There you go.
It's the rule at funerals and it's the rule on Grindr. I don't know why I'm just thinking of funeral buffets.
Sure.
Those always are the best buffets, though.
Better than stripper buffets? You never have been to a strip club.
I have. I don't like them, but I have been to them, and I will not eat at a stripper buffet.
All right. So what's your shadiest take?
Our transitions are flawless. Okay. My shadiest take was... I just dropped my notepad. My shadiest take, that stupid necklace that she wore the whole movie that said Renee.
Yeah.
And I kept wondering, does Amy Schumer not know what her own fucking character's name is? And they had to get her this necklace.
But okay. But in that scene, in that scene where she's talking to her boyfriend and thinking that he doesn't know who she is, she's wearing that fucking necklace.
My God in heaven. I know she wears it the whole movie. And I kind of like every scene, I thought, is she going to look down and be like, oh yeah, my name's Renee in this.
They didn't let me name the character Amy, so I got it.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, that stupid necklace drum was so crazy. Which,
maybe that's true, because in Trainwreck, her name was Amy.
Was it? I don't even remember. And I didn't even see that movie with her and Goldie Hawn. And maybe she had so many issues in that movie. Maybe her name wasn't Amy. And she's like, she put it in the contract. Like, okay, in this movie, you're putting it on some, there has to be some clothing or something where my name is on it, so I know what my character's name is. I don't know. All right. But it drove me crazy. It drove me absolutely bonkers. I hated it. So, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I already mentioned who I thought slayed the movie. The hot guy.
The hot guy.
Who slayed for you?
I said Lauren Hutton.
Okay.
As Lily LeClaire.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So first of all, she's 74 and still modeling, Lauren Hutton is. Mm-hmm. So I thought that, you know, she's still out there working. And but I found the character to be sweet and charming. I think kind of different than you would expect from somebody in her position. You know, if you kind of think of somebody old money and stuff like that, she seemed to genuinely want to have that line of product for the every woman, the diffusion line.
I love how you've done air quotes like 7 times during this episode, as if anyone can see it but me.
So for those of you who don't know,
Mike has been air quoting. Now he's flipping me off. I do not appreciate that, but he has been air quoting this entire time. So if you can identify where all 28 of his air quotes were, you will win a prize. Just write us and let us know at what minute mark.
Was I doing air quotes? Okay.
It's just cracking me up. It's funny as hell to me.
Hopefully somebody else finds it.
Miss Hutton was great. Solid.
Yeah. I
mean, but I feel like with every role in this movie, I could think of someone who would have done it better. So, you know who should have been in that role? And she did fine. I think every actor and actress did fine in this. But you know who I thought would have killed that role?
I have a thought. Jane Fonda.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It should have been Jane Fonda. She would have owned that role.
Yeah.
Owned it.
She's busy making that movie, The Book Club.
Whatever.
Grace and Frankie.
Whatever.
She's a busy girl. But yeah, I think I agree with you. I think Jane Fonda would have maybe been a better fit. She also kind of exudes a little bit more that like, beauty.
Exactly. I thought that I thought the character came off a little flat. It's a little flat for me. It's funny, our slays and our no ma'ams are kind of contradicting.
They're kind of contradicting people this week. Each other this week. Yeah. Oh well. That's the beauty of
That's fine. So Mike, who was your no ma'am of I Feel Pretty?
So it was the character of Grant. I thought that the guy who played him, and I just mentioned his name a few minutes ago, but Tom Hopper, he did fine in the role, and he is fine in that role. But so as far as the character goes, though, my question was, what was the purpose of his role or his character's motivations? Like, was he actually into Renee, or was that an attempt to sabotage his sister? They didn't really kind of flesh that out. So was he just a plot device to make Renee believe that her new looks could get her a man like him?
Yeah.
But so the character itself felt like it didn't really have a real purpose.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that may have been his purpose, was just to be this pretty boy that Renee all of a sudden was able to kind of attract with her confidence.
Yeah. I just didn't get why there was this kind of rivalry between he and his sister, but it never was really fleshed out as to why that was. I mean, I guess maybe we don't need to know that, and it probably doesn't matter, but it just, yeah, the character itself just felt kind of thrown in there to me.
I mean, I'd throw Tom Hopper in there too. It's fine.
I mean, I'm not saying that I didn't enjoy seeing him in the movie.
Again, he slayed it for me because he was pretty. I'm talking about this movie and I'm being super shallow. That's fine. But you know who my no man was? You're not going to like it.
Uh-oh.
Because you'd mentioned how much you liked her performance, but it was Michelle Williams.
Oh, no!
I know. But here's the thing. I think she is... I wish they had camped the hell out of that role. And she is... too good of an actress, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. She created this character, and you know who I thought would be so great for this role? Anna Faris.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about her character in Just Friends. Did you ever see that movie?
I love that movie.
I love Just Friends. It's so good. And I was thinking about her character from that movie, and like a character like that who is just this, you know, nutso crazy kind of thing. I don't know. I wanted full that. And her performance it was just over the top enough to kind of take me out of the movie. And if it's going to be over the top at all, I say go balls to the walls with it and just go full crazy. And she made her an actual, again, because Michelle Williams is such a brilliant actress, and you can tell she completely commits to her roles.
Oscar winner or nominated?
I don't think she's won yet, but she has definitely been nominated. Did she win for Brokeback? Oh, did she? I think she did. I think she may have. Anyway.
Either way,
she's great. Such a good actress. But I wish they had just gotten someone who, I don't know, would have completely camped it out and just been crazy.
Okay.
Crazy funny. Because that character was clearly, I think, supposed to be the, like, super funny, goofy character. But they made her a little too... I don't know. I want to say real or relatable.
I don't know about that, but
I don't know. But yeah, it just didn't do it for me.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, I mean,
no shade of Michelle Williams, great actress, but I feel like she's almost too good of an actress for that role.
That's fair. Okay. Well, so then let's go ahead and rate this.
Yeah, Mike, how many reels are you given to I Feel Pretty?
So I went 2.5.
Okay.
Me
too.
Hey!
That's what
For some reason, I was thinking you might end up going higher than me. But I felt like it had some good laughs. Definitely, you know, plenty of redeeming qualities for the movie that it was. But it was a bit too long and loses some of its luster towards the end.
Yeah.
I would recommend somebody seeing this, but I can't recommend going out and going to see it in the theater.
I mean, that's the thing. That I was going back and forth between 2 and 2.5 reels as if that has any importance. But the reason I gave it 2.5 is because I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, considering
right.
Amy Schumer's been a little up and down for me. I really like her at times, and at times I'm just like, and then seeing the Rotten Tomatoes score before I went in, I thought, oh no, this is going to be so bad. But it was better than it's definitely better than its Rotten Tomatoes score. It's funny. It's good. It needs work. It needs lots of work. I think that the movie could have been so much better if some of the casting choices were different.
Well, and I thought too that, you know, after seeing Blockers, I gave Blockers and you did too, but gave it a 3. And
this is definitely not better than Blockers.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And not even necessarily right on par
right.
with it.
No.
So it was like there was no way I could give it the same score.
Correct. Yeah, this was definitely in that 2 range, but I think it needs work, but it's good. So right. That's what makes it a 2.5 over a 2. I think a 2 would be a movie that needs work and was maybe more on the not so great side of things.
Yeah.
And so that's why it got
tipped the scale, so to speak.
I know that's a saying, but you're saying it as if that's a pun on something. Great. Super. Cool. So I Feel Pretty. If you want to see it, you should. If you don't. That's what we say.
Right.
That's the official thoughts of the Real Gay Movie Show.
Let's wrap it up on I Feel Pretty.
Wrap it up. We done.
Out.
Well, not completely. But not quite. There's still a very important
There's still
part
plenty
of the
more
show.
Real Gay Movie Show to come.
So let's do it.
Recommendations.
That's right. Oh, yay. Recommendations.
Favorite part of the show.
I love recommendations.
Well, then you start.
This might be one of my favorite recommendations. I am obsessed. And it actually builds on my recommendation from last week. So last week I recommended Nailed It. And since then have become slightly obsessed with Nicole Byer. She is great. Her Instagram is amazing. And I found out that she has a podcast called Why Won't You Date Me? And it is obviously, I think, the only podcast anyone should ever listen to is this one.
Okay.
but if you are going to, open up your horizons and listen to something else, oh, it's so good. She's so funny. She has a guest every episode where she just talks about dating. And I realized that she's my age, so I relate to her in so many ways. Like, she's never been in a serious relationship. She loves sucking dick. She is on the apps, all that kind of stuff. I feel such a spiritual and emotional connection to her. She is just, and she's funny, and she's great, and she has some awesome guests, and it's all kinds of people. She has guests who she has hooked up with before. She has guests who are some of just her best friends, and they talk about dating and stories and all this kind of stuff. And it is just outstanding. I've been binge listening to that for the past few days, and I am just...
How long has the show been out? Like, does she have a ton
of
episodes?
Not very long, no. It's only been out since... I think late last year is when she started releasing episodes, but
so she's got more than 10.
She's more than us. Yeah, mm-hmm. She sure do. She's got more episodes than us, but not many more. So I'm probably gonna fly through all of her previous episodes pretty quickly. But oh, they're so good. They're so funny and so. I've been listening to them and really, thinking about my own dating life and relating to a lot of these experiences, and just love hearing her experiences and kind of relating to them myself and analyzing how and why I date and all these kinds of things. And I could host my own podcast about why I'm so not dateable.
We can add that to the Real Gay Network.
Right. But she just does it so well. And there's parts of... So some of her standard things she does on the show, she has her guests go through her Tinder profile and...
Oh, wow.
Analyze her pictures. That's gassy. And her first picture on her Tinder profile is her with a giant dildo, just like holding it and looking at it.
And that's the same picture that you use on your profile?
It's definitely the same dildo. I mean, not the exact same one.
Well,
but,
no.
It's just funny listening to people analyze, you're not really going to be able to attract a serious man if this is your picture. But it's great. I love it. It's such a good podcast. Listen to it. Why Won't You Date Me? Nicole Byer.
So we are all about sharing the love, but you do know that it's now the second podcast that you've recommended on our podcast.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with...
There's plenty of time in the day for everybody to listen to every podcast.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And then when you're not listening to podcasts, check out some movies like the one I'm about to recommend.
Look at you and your transitions.
Hey.
Get it.
All right. So mine is a movie that came out last year, but it's just now hitting the home video circuit, but it's called God's Own Country. Have you heard of this one?
Nope.
Okay. So it's actually an English film.
British. Is it British?
But it's kind of a like a different take on the Brokeback Mountain story. So it's it takes...
Why can't I quit you?
But so it takes place in Yorkshire, England, and it's about a young sheep farmer that binge drinks and has a bunch of casual sex. But then like this Romanian migrant worker is hired on for a season, and the two begin like this kind of like what starts off as almost violent, but becomes like a heated relationship. And the sex scenes in this movie are a hell of a lot more graphic than they were in Brokeback Mountain.
You have captured my attention, sir.
Literally, there's a scene where the two of them are just sitting around after having sex, naked, just sitting there talking.
Ooh. Peen? Do you see peen?
You do.
Oh, I love when you see peen in movies. Doesn't happen enough.
But the one thing I will say is that...
Ooh, sorry, I just looked up a picture. Not of their peens, just of the, just on the movie. Oh, 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
that's good.
And
these boys are attractive.
So the guy who plays the Romanian migrant worker is hella cute.
They're both pretty.
The scruffy beard he's got going on there.
And, okay, so he's the Romanian dude.
And the nice thing is this movie actually has a happy ending compared to Brokeback Mountain, and I don't mean that kind of happy ending.
Feel like I'd have a happy ending if I were watching them have sex. Ooh, their faces are really close together in that. Sorry, I'm just scrolling through. I'll have to turn my safe search off and go have a glass of wine and enjoy that later. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway,
good recommendation.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it like you saw on with the Rotten Tomato score, it's gotten some good critic scores, and I'd kind of been hearing about it through. Even just like through Facebook, people saying, "Hey, have you seen this movie yet?"
I haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah, so I was like, "I'm gonna have to check that out." Bad boy,
naughty. Okay, solid.
Yeah. So anyway, well, everybody, I think that's going to do us for this episode. What do you think, Ryan?
You people want so much from us. We can only do so much of this a week. We live lives, you know.
We give you everything we can
and less.
All right, so hey, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Real Gay and Instagram at Real Gay Movie Show. Like our Facebook page, and wherever you listen, iTunes, Google, YouTube, subscribe, give us some feedback. Ryan, have yourself a wonderful week. Until next time,
have a great day.
Have a real gay day, everyone.